Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We have quickly come to our third and final midweek Advent Vesper service, and the third largely sequential reading from St. Luke's Gospel account, which account narrates the announcements and miraculous births of sons to two seemingly insignificant women. We've fast-forwarded about 3 months from when the angel Gabriel announced Jesus' birth to the Blessed Virgin Mary and her visit to her kinswoman Elizabeth. Tonight's reading tells of the birth of John the Baptizer, of his circumcision and naming, and a prophecy about him that the Holy Spirit made through his father Zechariah, presumably at the time John was circumcised. The birth is narrated in 2 verses. The circumcision and naming, narrated in 8. And the prophecy gets 13 verses before a concluding growth summary of 1 verse. In the prophecy, John is called the prophet of the Most High. And we appropriately reflect on tonight's second reading under the theme, the prophet of the Most High. You may recall, as we heard 2 weeks ago, how the angel Gabriel announced John's birth to Zechariah inside the Jerusalem temple, and how Zechariah had not at first believed Gabriel's words, which would be fulfilled in their time. Zechariah, more or less, had asked for a sign and was given one, namely, being silent and unable to speak until the day the things Gabriel described took place. As we heard tonight, 9 months later, when John was named, as the angel had said, then Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. As St. Luke, by divine inspiration, tells us, fear came on all Elizabeth's and Zechariah's neighbors, and maybe their relatives too. And all the things about John's birth, circumcision and naming, were talked about, continuously discussed through all the hill country of Judea where they lived. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." Already, when he was 8 days old, people were trying to figure out what to make of John. St. Luke, by divine inspiration, does not tell us where the people came down on that question, whether they, like his father Zechariah, declared John to be the prophet of the Most High, or whether they dismissed all that they heard about John as so much religious nonsense. As we've heard in our gospel readings the past 2 Sundays, some 30 years later, when John publicly appeared to Israel, people were still trying to figure out what to make of John. St. Mark told us that all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to John and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And St. John, the evangelist, told us that the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to inquire about John, his bearing witness and his baptizing. And we know from St. Luke that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Centuries later, people are still trying to figure out what to make of John. What do you and I make of John? Do we, like his father Zechariah, declare John to be the prophet of the Most High? Or do we, like others today, dismiss what we hear about John as so much religious nonsense? Are the details of John's birth, his circumcision and naming, and the prophecy about him true or made up myths? Do we accept John and his role as the prophet of the Most High? And do we heed his message of repentance or not? Ultimately, to reject John, his role, and his message is to reject him whose way John prepares. To so reject John and Jesus is to remain in darkness and in the shadow of death that we deserve on account of our sins. To so reject John and Jesus is to continue in the way of sinners, the way of the wicked, who will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, nor in the day of judgment. John and Jesus called the people in their days to repent and to believe the gospel. And their voices continue to call us to repent and believe the gospel. Such repentance and faith is in keeping with the angel Gabriel's prophecy to Zechariah about John, that John would make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And such repentance and faith is in keeping with Zechariah's prophecy to John himself, that John would go before the Lord to prepare his ways, giving his people knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of their sins. John the Baptizer truly was a prophet, even as Jesus himself said, more than a prophet. But as great as John the Baptizer was, the prophet of the Most High, John only brought, announced, and gave out the salvation accomplished by Jesus. When we turn in sorrow from our sins, and when we trust God to forgive our sins, and when we want to do better than to keep on sinning, then God truly forgives our sin for Jesus' sake. Bible commentators speculate just how much time after he was born John lived with his elderly parents before being in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. John's remembering his father's prophecy from when he was 8 days old would seem to be very unlikely, if not for the involvement of the Holy Spirit, who filled John from the womb, who filled Elizabeth when Mary visited, and who filled Zechariah when he prophesied. But again, as important as John the Baptizer was and is, more important is the one whose way John prepared. Jesus is the prophet of the Most High above all other prophets of the Most High. In the person of the man Jesus, as Zechariah declared, God visited and redeemed his people by dying on the cross for his people. His people, including you and me. Thus, Jesus is the horn of salvation who saves us from our enemies, especially from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Thus, God shows to all people, including us, the mercy promised to our fathers. Our fathers really going all the way back to the man and the woman whose sin in the garden created our need for salvation in the first place. So long was God's holy covenant in place with its means of grace. John the Baptizer came under God's holy covenant and its blessings by way of circumcision and faith. But John brought the new circumcision, holy baptism, the blessings of which are also received by faith. As he was circumcised on the 8th day, so the church often baptizes infants on the 8th day, the day of recreation. So baptized, we live in the grace that we who believe receive through baptism. At the baptismal font, God gives us clean hands and a pure heart, so that, as we heard in tonight's psalm, we can ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place, and receive blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of our salvation. So, as John the Baptizer would have eaten of the Passover, we come here, to this rail, and God strengthens and nourishes our bodies and souls. We, in faith, receive bread that is Jesus' body given for us, and we receive wine that is Jesus' blood shed for us the cup of the New Testament in his blood. So John and Jesus have guided us into the way of peace. As the Holy Spirit prophesied through Zechariah, we are delivered from our slavery to sin in order to serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Those of you who have been in our recent study of salvation history in the book of Exodus should recall the similar reason why God delivered the Israelites from their slavery to the Egyptians: to serve him, to worship him. And those of you who know your small catechism should recall the similar reason that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther gives in the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed: to live before him in holiness and righteousness all of our days. We are set free from our sin to worship God spiritually, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him, with reverence and awe, continually offering up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and not forgetting to do good to all those God places around us in our lives. In this lifetime, we will continue to fail to serve God as we should. But as we continue to repent and believe, we continue to live in the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins announced and given out by John the Baptizer, the prophet of the Most High. The forgiveness of sins accomplished by Jesus, the prophet of the Most High, above all other prophets of the Most High. And the forgiveness of sins still declared and given out by prophets of the Most High, pastors today. So forgiven, we are prepared to celebrate the birth of our Lord into the flesh. We are prepared to receive him as he comes to us now in his word and in his sacrament. And we are prepared to stand at the last day when he comes with glory to judge the living and the dead. As we heard in tonight's first reading about his comings, we do not need to have anxious hearts, for God comes with his recompense to save us.